Welcome back to the Upper West Side Reality, the podcast where we explore the heartbeat of one of New York City's most beloved neighborhoods. From the iconic streets to the unique charm, the Upper West Side has always been a special place, but lately there's been a shift. Empty storefronts are becoming more common, raising questions of what's behind the vacancies and what they're shaping in the area's character. To help us navigate the pressing topic, we're joined by John Smilowitz, a top commercial real estate agent with deep knowledge on the Upper West Side market. John will give us the inside scoop on what's driving these changes, what they mean for the community, and what the future could hold for our neighborhood. Whether you're a longtime local or just curious of what's happening in New York City's real estate, this episode is for you. Let's dive in. So one of my first questions for you is, can you share some background on your experience in commercial real estate and how long you've been working on the Upper West Side?
Okay. So I have been investing in commercial real estate for over 30 years. And 8 years ago, I decided to become a full-time commercial real estate broker. I'm also a CPA, so it makes me very analytical on how I approach deals. And my clients appreciate that because I'm really good with the numbers and I'm really good with the analysis and the market study. And that's a very big part about being a commercial realtor, is understanding the environment and the trends.
Got it. Okay. So from your perspective, how has the commercial real estate landscape changed over the Upper West Side over the past few years?
Well, COVID definitely shook up retail in general. I mean, there's four categories of commercial real estate in the New York City. There is the industrial, which there are very few of those assets in Manhattan, but outside of the boroughs, there's retail, there's residential, and then there's professional slash medical spaces. So I actually am active in three of those. The only one that I don't get involved in is residential because I don't have a degree in child psychology. I can't deal with the people, you know, and the emotional stress of the residential, but it also commercial for the most part is 9 to 5. Okay. And I did it also because of a lifestyle issue. But how has it changed? Well, COVID changed the patterns of how people buy things retail. Look at Amazon, right? You know, they go to major big box retailers perhaps once a month, like Costco or BJ's, right? Target, right? These are, you know, people are ordering on Amazon, you know, like left and right. I mean, so that has caused a lot of the mom and pop small stores per se on the West Side to have a lot of stress. It's harder for them to do business when they're competing with this mammoth Amazon. Okay. I mean, I went into a store recently and they were taking pictures of a sweater on a girl that was a sales girl that was a model. And what were they doing? They were putting it on Instagram, right? So they can sell it online. So traditional retail trends have been disrupted. Okay. And that's not necessarily bad, but what do you do with all this retail space? So the other reason why retail on the West Side is sagging is because most of these buildings are owned by, you know, colossal, large real estate families or companies. And a lot of them have mortgages on them, right? So they have to make a certain amount of money every month in order to cover their mortgage, or else if their rents get too low, then the banks will not reissue the mortgages when they come due, okay? And it's a concern for the owners. So they are keeping the rents high, and therefore you're getting vacancies for these two reasons that I just said. So, you know, so I would expect, you know, two things to happen. Market forces will come into play, meaning landlords are gonna, if they're desperate and they have to rent, they're going to have to drop their prices. But we haven't seen that because with inflation, you know, rents are continuously staying high.
You find me a residential unit in the city where the rents have gone down since COVID, and I'd say, you know, it's hard to see that. So same thing with retail. So the rents continue to rise, and the pressures on people to go into these stores is huge, and the failure rate is high. So someone goes in and they're there for a year and they can't make it, they're out. And then they're back to the same scenario again.
Oh, okay. So have you noticed any specific industries or types of business that have been hit the hardest on the Upper West Side?
Well, psychologists.
Really?
Yes. Every psychology office in the city is closed because everyone's doing a meeting like we're doing right now on Zoom. So psychologists don't need offices any longer. Psychiatrists do because they're doctors who prescribe medicine, right? Eye doctors need it. Dentists, you can't work on a patient if you're a dentist, right? Psychologists. So every psychology office is closed. And if they have to onboard somebody, they go to, you know, another professional's office and onboard people. And then once they do it, they Zoom with them. Sometimes they don't even meet the person that they're treating. So I'd say psychologists. The second one would be traditional clothing tailors. Okay. They little boutique stores used to walk up, you know, you walk up and down Madison Avenue and you still see those boutique stores, but they used to be on the Upper West Side. There used to be a tremendous amount of little boutiques. They can't afford to do it. Mom and pop pharmacies. Okay. There's one around the corner from where you live on 67th Street.
Oh yeah, that one's still open.
But that's a rarity. Okay. And there's another one on Columbus, an old one with an old fashioned sign.
Yeah. Next to across the street from the post office.
Those businesses are feeling pressure from the larger Duane Reade's and Walgreens and, you know, and companies like that. So, you know, all these little mom and pop field businesses, you know, are struggling.
Yeah. So how do these vacancies impact the local community and economy of the Upper West Side?
I don't think it affects the economy so much because I think we're spending money on, we're not buying the goods and services that we need. So I think from a perspective of the economy, I don't think it's really affecting the residents of the Upper West Side. But from a neighborhood perspective, it feels like, you know, doesn't feel like that West Side, you know, small village type of, you know, community, because you're losing all these little stores. So, I think the vibe of the West Side, no one wants to see vacancies because it's abandonment. Feels like that.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think landlords or property owners are adjusting their strategies, such as like lowering rents to attract more tenants?
No.
Really?
No, I know, because I think they are, because of inflation, because cost of operating buildings, because of loan covenants that are in their mortgages, they can't allow the rents to go down too low. They rather carry the vacancy, try to get something in there over time that works, and rather than rent it too low. Because if they rent it too low, their valuations will go down and the property will be worth less.
Okay.
A lot of times in the Upper West Side, if it's a co-op building, the co-op sometimes owns the retail spaces. So, you know, you go into a building and the tenant is paying rent to the co-op board. And the co-op owners own it. So when you have a situation like that, I have a professional office at 145 West End Avenue in Lincoln Towers. Okay. And it's a medical office. And there's six professional medical offices in 145 West End Avenue. And five of them are owned by individual doctors and one is owned by the co-op. I'm representing the one for the co-op. They own it. They pay for their carrying costs on it. They don't want to sell it because the prices right now on those units are low
and they want to rent it, but we're having a very hard time renting it because it's so, that one's because it's so far west. It's not a retail store that your question relates to. But the point is that some of these retail stores are owned by the co-ops. So the co-ops can afford to carry it because they have 150 people upstairs and okay, so there's a vacancy, so they'll wait for the higher rent. Other times it's owned by an investor or a family that owns an entire building. The same thing, they're kind of waiting. We're not seeing the rents come down dramatically.
Okay. Do you think like the demographic or lifestyle like changes on the Upper West Side when are contributing to this trend?
I think it's a secondary factor. I think the primary factors are the disruption in retail that I told you about before.
Mm-hmm. How much of current vacancy issues do you think is still a result of COVID-19 pandemic and the economic aftershock?
I think partially, because I think our buy trends changed. So I think partially. I wouldn't give you a percentage, but I think that's something that we have to deal with going forward.
Do you think businesses are like more cautious because of what happened?
I think businesses try and do as much business as they can online.
Yeah, especially with like TikTok and Instagram being like so popular. Like everyone just wants to sell and promote stuff for free online when they have it. They don't have to pay for advertising.
Or buy a Google or buy a Facebook ad. Right?
Yeah. Were the specific policies or relief programs during the pandemic that helped commercial properties recover in the area?
Certainly. The program that gave businesses small business loans from the SBA, all businesses were entitled to it. And it's a very low interest rate that you have to pay back. And also the PPE program, which was if you had employees and you were paying your employees, the government gave you money to pay them throughout the pandemic. And that money was not needed to be paid back. So those two things kept businesses afloat. The government spent like $1 trillion, on that. Just basically money and gave it out to everybody. But if they hadn't done that, businesses would have colossally failed. So the government did step in and do a necessary step.
You know that.
Those 2 points.
What strategies do you think can help reduce vacancies in the commercial real estate market on the Upper West Side?
Well, definitely breaking up the larger stores into smaller spaces. Take the Century 21. Okay, that was a staple in the neighborhood for many, many years. And it's a large store. So break that up into 3 or 4 stores and smaller stores, will give a smaller footprint to retailers. So that is definitely one way of doing it. And maybe converting some of the space potentially into residential. But that would require rezoning, and that would have to be looked at on a unit by unit, building by building basis. But if you can add a few more residential to the pie, that would be great. But that there's other problems of doing that, which are beyond this conversation. The costs and the tax implications on the condos and the co-ops. So they may not necessarily be able, but those are some ideas.
Yeah, I agree with, especially with Century 21, there's like the Banana Republic that's also like almost as big as it right next door. And they're both just sitting vacant for like months on end. And Century 21 for years.
Years. This is for years. This is for years.
I know before it was, what was it, Barnes & Nobles?
Yeah.
Are there any success stories or examples of businesses that have been able to thrive despite the challenges in this area?
Well, I think restaurants were doing really better because of the outdoor seating that the city allowed them during COVID, and now they've taken it back, which is kind of nice because now there's more parking spots.
True.
But
But for a while there, they just kind of erected these structures. They had extra seating. And when COVID was over, they kept them. And all of a sudden, they expanded their seating. Look at the Smith down by Lincoln Center. And what's the Palma or whatever it's called.
Cafe Luxembourg.
Cafe Luxembourg. Exactly. So, you know, so all these places had extra seating. So I think restaurants, you know, restaurants have always been a hard business, but I think restaurants had more seating. If they have more seating, they have more servings. They have more servings, they're theoretically making more money. So I think that has been good post pandemic. I mean, you know, listen, movie theaters are dying. I mean, that movie theater across the street on Broadway is going to go out soon. I mean, how much longer can that last? It's crazy. I mean, maybe they fill it up for Wicked, right? But I mean, you go there on a Tuesday night, you're probably 8 people in the entire theater. So, and people are streaming and watching movies differently. So what else?
How optimistic are you about the future of commercial real estate on the Upper West Side? What are signs of improvement, if you're seeing any?
I think there'll always be an
How optimistic are you about the future of commercial real estate on the Upper West Side? What are signs of improvement, if any, are you seeing?
I think it'll adjust. And, you know, I think it'll adjust. And I think eventually market forces, which is supply and demand, will take effect. And eventually landlords will have to take a lower rent, which will entice people to come and open some form of business. And that's just capitalism. And that's just driving market forces. If there's a big supply vacancy, then if you want to rent it, you're going to have to lower your rent.
How do you think new developers or rezoning efforts might impact vacancy rates in the coming years?
I can't tell you about zoning because every new administration that comes in will have a different view on zoning. So, you know, we have to just kind of navigate that with whatever administration comes after the Adams administration and the administration after that and after that. And, you know, it all depends on, you know, what the city council wants to change. So it's hard to predict that. What was the other side of the question?
How do you think new developers or rezoning efforts might impact vacancy rates in the coming years?
Well, new developers will only add more retail, but I think that if they see that retail is sluggish, what they'll do is they'll incorporate maybe some community space into, you know, into their first floor plans. Maybe they'll put it, you know, a better gym in or a tenant lounge, and maybe they won't put retail in. Maybe they'll figure out how to put a super's apartment on the first floor. So I think what they'll do is new developers will slow down and maybe adjust their thoughts on retail, or maybe they'll make the like I told you before about the Century 21, the footprint of the retail space is smaller. It's easier to rent a smaller space.
Yeah.
Have more of them, but smaller. A hairdresser, a nail salon.
Yeah,
I'm going to
do like a tiny boutique.
Think about where Raina lives, like the Coronado. Look at the size of those stores.
Yeah.
Stores.
Yeah, especially like that bakery on the corner. It's like tiny.
Yeah, 1,000 square feet or less.
Yeah. If you can propose one major initiative to city planners or local governments to address these vacancies, what would it be?
Allow flexible use of retail. Because right now, they're zoned for certain types of businesses. So widen the class of businesses that can be allowed in a retail use.
So this is my last question. But for people looking to invest or open a business on the Upper West Side, what advice would you offer them based on your experience?
Buy your space if you can, because then you control your rent. If you can control your rent, you can stay in business for a very long time. If you can't control your rent, eventually the rent's going to raise to the point where you're working just to pay your rent. So I tell young professionals such as doctors, dentists, chiropractors, any kind of professional, if you can buy a condo space that you can put your business in, scrape together the money to put the down payment down and pay yourself a mortgage payment, versus paying a landlord rent. That's my advice to anyone who's opening a business.
Thank you for joining me today and being able to have this interview. I really appreciate it.